It's time to do a little Eagle science.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. We got another Eagle out there that we're going to discuss, and we're going to play Eagle science and try to figure out who it is, because there's a lot of different trains of thought as to who this one could possibly be. And what I'm talking about, Alex Golish putting out the bat signal. Another Eagle goes out late last night. We're going to break that down. Recruiting still matters. There's some folks, I think they're still scarred from the last coaching staff, and it's okay. It's okay. Recruiting still matters. And then the big news around college football is Brendan Sorsby's done. So we're going to talk about that as well. But let's just jump right into it. Last night, 10:02 p.m. Central Standard Time, Alex Golish fires off an Eagle. War Dam with one singular Eagle and sends the Auburn world into a frenzy again, as they should. And the fun thing about this is everyone trying to figure out who it is, because there's a lot of folks that it could be, and there's still those random Eagles from that big weekend that still seem to be out there, okay? And what am I talking about when I say that? Let's go run through what all the potential scenarios could be, okay? So we know back that first official visit weekend, the big one, we know Alex Golish ran off seven Eagles, okay? And I don't even want to go back through who all of them potentially were, but we feel like we're pretty confident five of the seven are in the class, are in the commit class right now. They've committed. They're in the class. So there's still two out there. So the fun conversations are, who are those two Eagles? And I think the common thought is that one is Nyjere, and that is the correct way to pronounce the name, Nyjere Crum, who announces tomorrow on 247's live stream tomorrow evening. And then the other one was possibly James Pace, who commits on Friday. Auburn feels really good. I know Colorado made a late push on his visit, but Auburn feels really good there. Okay, so if those are the two guys for the last two, that means this newest Eagle is for an additional person. And you know what? It would be for an additional person regardless, even if it was for Nyjere Crum, who's the most recent commit date that's on, you know, the on deck, because that would mean one of the other two is a name we're a little bit unsure of. You still would feel confident about one of those being James Pace. So let's operate under the assumption that the remaining two out of the first seven that started firing down are Nyjere Crum and James Pace. We're going to lock those in. Feel pretty confident. Again, don't 100% know, but let's just take that, put that in a bucket, and move it off to the side, okay? Then you can kind of start playing the process of elimination. Who's been to Auburn, who's interested in Auburn, and then maybe who has some commit dates that are in the future that you could probably kick out. So let's just start with the most common, everybody getting excited. Oh, it's got to be Carlos May, right? It's Carlos May. It could be, but he seems pretty adamant he's committing on August 11th. Could that be an Eagle that is signifying the commitment on August 11th? I don't think so. Again, I can't back that up with like 100% certainty. I don't think so. So I'm kicking Carlos May out for now. I'm not saying he's not going to be a commit. I'm just saying he's probably not this particular Eagle. I know a common name that a lot of people throw out there is Tay Walden. Some people even think Tay Walden may have been part of the original seven. He's got a commitment date around July 1st. Don't know. I think that's pretty set in stone. I don't know that that's the case. So you probably could maybe boot him out as being the potential commit. Again, I can't say he won't be in the class ever, but just kind of reading through the tea leaves, it's probably not Tay Walden this time. So then you got to start looking at guys that maybe just recently visited or visited, you know, in the recent past that it could potentially be. Who are some of the big guys that it could potentially be? One that's just left a visit, and I don't know that he has a commitment date out there, Junior Tuopo, the safety from Thompson. He's 6'2", 200, and I think he is – I know Auburn loves Chance Gilbert, but as far as just pound for pound, your top safety on the board, he could be one to look at. He could be one that, you know, maybe Auburn flipped at the last minute because it does feel like Texas has a ton of the momentum. They lead in the Rivals recruiting prediction machine. I think he even said in some of his closing quotes that Texas was either still number one or is number one, or it's going to be hard to beat Texas or whatever. But we've seen that. We've seen Auburn swoop in and flip a guy really quick. And this wouldn't technically be a flip, but you understand what I'm saying. A guy maybe leaning somewhere, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's Auburn. I think Nate Komba could be that same type situation where he was probably leaning South Carolina. I think even South Carolina folks believed he was leaning South Carolina, and then boom, it's Auburn. So that could be one. Could it be a guy like Chad Willis, the wide receiver who's committed to Cincinnati that Auburn really likes, that, you know, maybe they just put the press on him and they really like him and they're getting him in the class? Could it be a guy like Deshaun Hall from Prattville? Don't necessarily think he has a date on the board. He's been one where he's visited. Auburn has shown interest, but have they really put the full court press on him yet? Could it be that happened over, you know, the last couple of days and they're ready to secure a commitment? Those are the type guys that I'm feeling like this one is going to be. I'm just going through some of the visits that left, you know, uncommitted that are bigger names. Chicken Garore. That could be one. He's committed to Texas, though. I mean, like, I doubt they flipped him. Sam Lejeune could be one. If you're moving on from Carlos May, I don't know. He's a little bit undersized. I don't know if he can really truly fill that Carlos May role. There's several names that it could be. I don't necessarily think, again, I don't think that it's signifying Nyheer Crum on Wednesday. I think it's going to be one of these guys that has visited, that Auburn is, you know, in the mix for, but maybe they left a little just lukewarm, and then Auburn's all of a sudden turned it up and is going to snag a commitment. When is that commitment going to come? Other than those seven that were initially put out, it feels like these things happen pretty fast, don't they? If that was at 10 o'clock last night, like by the time you're listening to this podcast, we may already have another commit in the class. And then even if this is signaling Nair on Wednesday, which I don't think it is, but even if it is, that means there is an additional commit in there somewhere other than James Pace. And it's probably one of the guys we've mentioned in the show. So Eagle science, man, it's become the thing. It's become all the rage. And we obviously have fun every time it pops, because then we get to start thinking of who it could be. Recruiting is fun. Recruiting still matters. And I tell you what, you can have both. We'll talk about that in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to buyauburn.dadgum.com. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people. If you're an Auburn business owner, you can subscribe for less than $1 per day. You even get a chance to have a business spotlight podcast. I mean, I don't know that there's a better value out there for $300 on an annual basis as far as advertising goes. Radio, print, Facebook ads, I don't think there's a better value. Any industry, doesn't matter, all across the country. And then if you're an Auburn fan, start with buyauburn.com. Start your shopping or buying process at buyauburn.com and do business with Auburn people. It's buyauburn.com. And along those same lines, if you need a good realtor in the Auburn, Opelika area, hey, buy Auburn and do business with me, Kyle Rush at KW.com. I got four townhomes in Opelika that are ready for you. Under $300,000, comes with a pool in the neighborhood, fenced in backyards, brand new, move in ready, nothing to do. And then we have some awesome financing options as well. So hit me up if you got questions about that. Even have proven game day short-term rental revenue that we could talk to you about. Hit me up, Kyle Rush at KW.com. We'll be back right after this. There's a lot of people, and I'm seeing it in the comments, and I'm seeing it, you know, on social media, that like are super trying to downplay recruiting in general, high school recruiting in general. And to an extent, I get it. Okay. Hey, we just experienced that. Like, we just did this. So it's not that big of a deal. We just did this and we won five games. Why are we getting excited until we see it on the field? And yes, you're absolutely right. You got to see it on the field. You got to have the wins on the field for it to truly matter. But just because we as Auburn fans experienced great recruiting with bad results does not mean that is the formula for every coach at Auburn, every team at Auburn, and every team across the country. The great philosopher radio says, I want both. I want both. You got to have both. You got to have both to be able to be successful. You got to bring in elite talent, and then you have to develop them. The numbers may have changed. You may not necessarily have to bring in 25 kids every year. That may not be the roadmap. It may be some years for you. There may be some years where that you got the numbers to fill. You maybe have a big senior class leaving, or you know, some seniors plus some juniors that are potentially NFL candidates. You may have some of those options leaving, and you can fill them in with some high school guys. And then there may be some years where, hey, we're a little bit younger, and maybe we only need 15 to 18 guys. Hey, guess what? You're probably going to have some guys leaving the portal too. It happens. It's going to happen. So your number, total numbers may change, but the need for elite talent has never changed. So one thing I'm looking at about this particular class is not so much we're getting to the point where it's fun to watch it move up the total rankings, but what I'm watching is Do the guys being added make sense? Are they doing the things that the elite teams do to build championship rosters? And you don't have to look any further, really, than the trenches. Are we going and getting a whole bunch of defensive backs that we don't necessarily need? Are you going and getting a whole bunch of wide receivers that you may not necessarily need? And so on and so forth, when you're neglecting the most important positions, particularly in the SEC, now the Big Ten, is the trenches, man. Are you neglecting the trenches just to go for the ranking? And they're not doing that. You have four offensive linemen, two of them extremely highly rated, one of them extremely highly offered, and then a solid prospect that's probably getting a lot better coaching than he's ever had this last year, that who knows what happens once he gets to campus. You got to have those guys, and you're still going after more. Then you switch over to the defensive line in the trenches. You have, you know, an unbelievable defensive lineman in Donovan Moore. You just add another big guy. You're focusing on your pass rush. You got Ryan Jackson. You're looking at adding James Pace. Does it make sense? Are you overloading on linebackers? No, you got two. You typically play two on the field at the same time, so we're just going to go get two of the best we can get, and you got them. It's making sense. You have to do this. It's not one or the other. Indiana is not the answer for every scenario. Okay? Like, it is remarkable. And I'll tell you this, their recruiting, now their total ranking is not super high, but I think they already have a five-star in the class, and they're probably going to add at least one more, the number one wide receiver in the whole recruiting class. So it's not like they're not going to go try to get top talent now that they obviously have the recognition in the national championship under their belt. You can have both. It's not out of the realm of possibility. We've seen a lot of schools do it. And, hey, you look at Miami. Miami has relied heavily on the portal to kind of get them into the conversation. They're the number two class right now in high school. It still matters. So it's okay to be excited about it, because the assumption is you're watching Alex Golish in spring. You're watching the attention to detail and the little things that win ball games that have razor thin margins of error. You're watching him pay attention to the little things, and you're just thinking logically, okay, if we recruit really well and now we're developing and we're being, you know, a lot better and more efficient on the field, then, hey, you put those two things together and it's got to equate to success. I mean, we've seen it multiple times. So it's okay, man. Lean into it. Have fun with it. It has been fun. This has been an incredible ride. Last thing we're going to talk about, we're going to get out of here. Brennan Sorsby is out. It looks like that he and Texas Tech are mutually parting ways, which I think is a wise move for both parties. You know, there was a lot of hand-wringing, and I don't know that Texas Tech expected the backlash that's come from this. Potentially, you know, filing the injunction after the NCAA deemed him ineligible, filing the injunction, and then really, boy, really leaning into the addiction part of it and making it, you know, I'm trying to be sensitive about this because obviously addiction is real, but there are still consequences, and really leaning into the addiction and pushing the consequences to the side, to the point where, you know, a guy that gambled on his own team may only have to sit out two games when people have been banned from leagues, Hall of Fames, and all of the above for doing the exact same things. More than likely, so you had NCAA says you're ineligible. Then you had injunction that says he's eligible until there is a court ruling He's only going to miss two games. NCAA was going to appeal that. My guess is everybody kind of got word that the appeal was going to go through, and the appeal would have reset it back to him being ineligible, and his clock is ticking on jumping into the NFL supplemental draft. I think it's sometime in July. So you got to have that done. You got to make a decision one way or the other. I think he made the wise decision. He's probably going to have, you know, some obstacles he's going to have to deal with, you know, even at the NFL level, and understandably so, and that'll make him a better person if he comes out on the other end, you know, victorious. So wish him the best. I think this is great for college football, and glad this is finally over. This saga is finally over. The most we've ever talked about Texas Tech, maybe ever. Imagine, though, as a Texas Tech fan, and your season's basically over at in June. I saw that the guy that they're looking at to be their starter is also coming off of a knee injury or some kind of surgery, and he's not expected back until game three. Now, they don't play anybody the first two games, but that's the situation we're in. And I know as an Auburn fan, if we were in that situation, to be like, dadgummit, man, we can't catch a break. I know they just made the playoffs last year, so they can't totally vibe with us. But, man, can you imagine if Byron Brown, something happened and he was out for the year? I don't even want to put that into the universe, but it'd be a sickening feeling. But you know what? You got to do your background. When you bring in these guys, you got to do your background. And there's always going to be risks. Guys, let me know what you think about the recruiting class. Who do you think the Eagle is? Hopefully, it's not right early this morning and this whole podcast becomes irrelevant like it has before. Let me know who you think it is in the comments. Guys, we'll be back again very soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, Eagle Science. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening. And drive home safely.